talking Boston Bruins with Joe Haggerty joining us from Beantown. Joe, how you doing, my man?
Hey, what's going on, Jason? How are you?
Hey, your pal Ray Ferraro gave you a big plug on the show, so I just wanted to let you know that. He was pumping your tires earlier today.
Ray is the best. He is a good, good man, and I don't just say that because we might have shared an adult beverage or two in our past.
Just one, though. Just one or two.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Just a social beverage, you know?
Joe, we look at the Boston Bruins situation. We all know that Savard can go on LTIR when the season starts, so that will free up $4 million, technically, of cap space. But they still have Smith. They still have Krug signed. All arrows point to a Johnny Boychuk trade. We heard that the orders were negotiations over the summer. It didn't pan out. Are you hearing anything else? Which other teams would be interested in? Is he the obvious guy to be moved out for them to get under the cap and sign their guys?
Well, yeah. I think if they want to do it in one fell swoop, I think he would be the guy. And clearly he would also be the guy if they were looking for the most return, if they were looking for a player that could help them immediately and the most value they could get. And obviously they've got to make the risk-reward decision about trading him at the beginning of the year rather than letting him walk at the end and getting some value in return for him versus losing a guy that is one of your best defensemen and certainly a top-four guy and a 20-minute-a-night guy. Trading him away will hurt their Stanley Cup chances this year for sure. So, all of this goes into it. I think there are definitely options they're pursuing, and they know what they can get back or potentially what they could get back for Boychuk if they pull the trigger on that kind of a deal. I think, there are other teams out there, obviously, that need a right-handed defenseman that can play 20 minutes a night, that's hard-hitting, that could potentially be a shutdown guy, a guy that has a big shot and could potentially bump up the offense a little bit on the power play with a slap shot. Detroit is a team that definitely needs a player like that, though they are in the same division as the Bruins. There are a couple other teams out there. I mean, Edmonton, to me, still makes the most sense as fit because it's the place he's from, because it's a place he would, embrace and welcome going back to, because he's very good in the dressing room. He's, played with Andrew Ferentz for a long time before, and they were a pairing together in Boston. So I think that's something that would fit as well. And, maybe being home for a year, you could sell Boychuk on signing there long term. These are all possibilities. Also, Edmonton has the young forwards that the Bruins are going to want in return for his services. So it makes sense on a lot of levels, but I do also think that the Bruins are going to seriously pursue trading maybe a combo of Bartkowski and McQuaid in separate deals. And those two together would be close to $3 million in cap savings, and that would almost be like trading Boychuk. So if I were to guess, I would say they're probably going to trade those two guys instead of Boychuk now to clear the space to sign Torrey Krug and Riley Smith. But it all depends on the offer they get. If they get blown away by an offer from Boychuk, I think they might be tempted to make a move now.
Joe, we heard all about that talk with the Oilers and the Bruins. And while it isn't the only option, as you said, it makes a lot of sense. Let's play armchair GM here. What's going to be the ask for the Bruins if Peter Chiarelli and Craig McTavish pick up the phone? What's the ask from the Boston end on Boychuk?
I mean, I've written about Yakupov a couple of times, and clearly it would take more than Boychuk, and it would be a bigger deal if they were to get him in return for Boychuk. I would expect more would be going Edmonton's way, and that, it would have to be something that would really make it worth Craig McTavish's while to trade away a guy that was such a high draft pick and still holds plenty of value. But, look at it this way. The Bruins need a right winger. They need a dynamic young offensive talent. They need somebody like Yakupov. That's a definite need for them.
Yep.
They have too many defensemen. Edmonton needs a shutdown-type defenseman, a veteran guy, a guy that is going to be able to step up in big games, a guy that's good in the room, a guy that can set the tone physically, play way plus 20 minutes a night and really help their defense. That's what Edmonton really needs badly, and they have a surplus of really talented high-end offensive forwards. So these are how trades are made, when you have surpluses of these certain things and you work it out some way. I would think that is the kind of area that the Bruins would be looking at, and maybe that's why it fell apart months ago, because that's what they wanted, and Edmonton said no way. Maybe that gets revisited, maybe it doesn't. But I really think the Bruins are looking to get quite a bit back in return for Boychuk if they do move him, because they value him so much. And because I said before, their Stanley Cup chances for this year take a major hit, and I don't even understate that at all if they trade away Boychuk. He is a big piece to what they do, and it would hurt them in the short term big time to trade him away.
Joe Haggerty, beat reporter for the Boston Bruins, joins us. Joe, I was going to ask you about Boychuk, and because a lot of people think, oh, he just plays with Zdeno Chara, and that makes him look a lot better than he is. And I think that downplay, he's got a hell of a shot. Chara can't make him shoot the puck any harder than he does. You know, he's competitive. He obviously understands the game. Is he a guy who's, you know, a number three regardless of who he's paired with, or is he more number four? Where do you see him at, and if he tests the free agent market, is he getting Brooks Orpik-type money next summer?
I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to get Orpik-type money, that he's going to be looking at $5 to $6 million a year for a long-term contract, as long as he stays healthy and has a pretty decent season. I think you're definitely looking along those lines, and that's just, you know, the way the market is going. And he has a lot of attributes as a defenseman that would be really attractive to a team looking to pick up a veteran guy, a veteran right-handed shot. And on top of everything else, on top of the shot, on top of the physicality, on top of the good leadership and the way he's one of those guys that kind of brings the room together, he's also a very durable player, and he's proven that over the years. And you put all those things together, and that's a lot of qualities that you want in a defenseman. So I think he would definitely get that kind of a deal. I really think he's the kind of player that would bring a lot to the table to anybody. But I think in a situation like Edmonton's, he's played shutdown defenseman top 2D before. Yes, he's played with Chara, but he's held his own on the other side. And last year he played second pairing, but it was with Matt Barkowski, a young guy who was very shaky decision-making-wise, made a lot of mistakes, yet he still ended up around, I think, a plus 30 for the year Boychuk did, with Seidenberg going down only after a couple months into the season. So he wasn't doing it with somebody by his side holding his hand last year. I think he's a very good player in his own right, and he certainly proved that he's, you know, a 3D man, maybe a 2 on certain teams that are a little light defensively, but he's an asset for a team that's looking for good, hard, physical defensemen that are going to make players pay the price in the defensive zone, and that's the kind of guy that I think Edmonton really needs.
Joe, when I look at the possibility of trading Boychuk, you know, Pete Chiarelli is a sharp guy. And when I look at the situation, he's probably thought of this long before I ever did. I get real nervous about a scenario where Boychuk goes out, period. But when I look at Chara, and I'm not trying to throw him on the bone heap yet, but he is 37, and now all of a sudden you take Chara and Boychuk off the top of that defense, Seidenberg's in and out, that defense goes from very good to very average in a big hurry.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they're getting a little long in the tooth in areas. You know, Seidenberg, Boychuk, and Chara are now all 30 and above, and you saw last year what happened when Seidenberg went out. That severely compromised their defense and really left them a little softer in the defensive zone. They were never able to adequately replace the defensive warrior qualities that Seidenberg brings to the table, and that hurt them in the playoffs big time. It really got unmasked in that second round against Montreal. And, you know, they at this point, this is why you wonder about them when they get deep into the playoffs with the older legs among the defensemen, and being able to sort of get over the top with some of those guys that look a little tired now when they get to the postseason. You know, it's 2 years in a row, Stanley Cup final 2 years ago against the Blackhawks, and then the second round last year against Montreal when Chara looked a little heavy-legged at times, and he certainly looked like he's played a lot of minutes during the season, and he looked every bit of his 37 years old, even though he's a fitness freak. So, you know, your point is a good one. I would say the thing that the Bruins are relying on is that those older defensemen are going to start to get supported by the younger guys as they did last year. Dougie Hamilton really burst onto the scene last year as a 21-year-old in the last few months of the season. He looks like he's gained even a little more weight over the summer muscle-wise, and he looks bigger and stronger now to start this year. And he comes in with the confidence that he really put on a show towards the end of the year, and he was really good in the playoffs. And I think as his burden, as his ice time and his responsibilities grow, you're going to see them lessen with some of the other older players like Chara. Eventually, somewhere down the line, Chara's going to pass the baton on to Dougie as the minute horse and the real big guy along the blue line on this team. I don't think it's going to be this year, but it's coming soon. Torrey Krug is another guy in that category once they get him signed, although I talked to some people today, and Krug will not be going to camp. He's probably going to hold out if he's not signed, which he won't be by tomorrow. So that's a question mark going into camp. He and Riley Smith, both still unsigned, restricted free agents.
Joe Haggerty joins us talking Boston Bruins. Joe, you mentioned how they're looking for a skilled forward. When you have that many good veterans up front, is there any young guys? I'm looking at, you know, at recent draft picks, and there's no one really jumping off the page as far as a real skilled offensive forward. Is it safe to say that the depth of top-end offensive guys is a little lacking right now in the Bruins organization?
It certainly was last year. It was more about the young defensemen last year. I think this is the year that's make or break for a lot of those players. And, you know, there are a couple openings now along those forward positions with the Jerome Iginla and Sean Thornton gone. I think the Bruins want to remake the fourth line a little bit, make it faster, maybe a little more offensive-minded at points, not quite as slug it out and physical and grinding at all three positions as it's been in the past. With the Merlot line of Gregory Campbell, Daniel Paille, and Sean Thornton, I think they want to shake things up and change things up a little bit. So guys like Ryan Spooner, Alex Kokolchev, they have some high-end offensive skill. They're former second-round picks. They're guys that have done well in the AHL and now have to make that jump and have to show in this camp that they're capable of winning NHL jobs. I think those are the two highest-caliber candidates. Matt Fraser is another one. They got him in the Sagan trade. He scored a goal in overtime against Montreal in the playoffs last year. He scored 70 goals in the AHL in two seasons leading into last season when he came to Providence. He's got a great shot. He's a guy that could step up and really perform. The one guy we'll tell you, though, to watch is David Pastrnak, the first-round pick that they had in the 25th spot this summer. Czech-born player playing in Sweden. He has dazzling offensive skills. He was named to the all-tournament team during the rookie tournament last week in Tennessee, and they're looking at him to potentially be a right wing at 18 years old with the NHL team to start the season. He might have that skill that you're talking about is missing from that young forward group. He's been really impressive so far, but he's 170 pounds, and he starts banging bodies with the big boys this week. We'll see how he does.
Joe, always great to talk to you. It's going to be interesting to see the Bruins and what they do between now and the start of the season to get another cap. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. They got a lot of questions still yet to answer.